Yeah, when I was eight, I was just, like, home one night, and then this, like, man walks into my house, and then my dad's like, oh, come meet your tabla teacher. And I'm like, oh, sick, okay.
We would like to acknowledge that we are on stolen Yuggera and Turrbal lands, and as settlers of colour, we reflect upon the damaging legacy of colonisation. Always was, always will be.
My name is Sai. I am a DJ, musician, producer from Mianjin, Brisbane, Queensland. At the moment, I'm a DJ, mainly for work and for creative purposes. I really love it. But yeah, I also play music, play like live music. I'm in a band. I produce music as well, for myself and for other people. Just the music guy, pretty much. That's pretty much sums it up. I read in your email, we're on island timing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, maybe you're like Fiji Indian. I'm Fiji Indian.
Right.
So I was like, oh, okay, maybe it's Fiji Indian. I wasn't sure. But then Sri Lanka is also an island too. So it's
that's so funny that you're getting into that, because I firmly believe, like, for most people, particularly for, say, people who are part of the dominant culture in any space.
Yeah.
It's not a great thing to go like, oh, where are you from? Or are you from here? Like, you know, sort of guess someone's lineage, like,
yeah,
it's some sort of like game.
But with you,
I was getting that island kind of feel. And true. I noticed like tabla and like, so I wasn't sure if it was like, I think prior to recently, I was seeing you post from, you went and saw a big concert recently, right?
Yes, I did.
What was that?
It was Arjit Singh. He's like a Bollywood singer, like the Top Gun Bollywood singer at the moment.
Right.
He's like crazy. He's so good. So good. Yeah.
Right. Right. So that was part of what gave me a hint that you would have been South Asian brown.
Yes. Okay.
The Bollywood connection.
Yeah. Of course.
And then also reading your bio and then seeing tabla as an 8-year old.
So then it's like, okay.
Yeah. Maybe it's that island.
Yeah.
So was it Fiji?
So my dad, he's Fijian Indian.
Right.
Then my mom, she's Dutch.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a Dutch surname and some Dutch lineage as well.
Oh, no way. That's cool. Yeah. So my mom's basically my mom's parents. She's half Fijian Indian, half Dutch. And then, yeah, so her parents met like in London when back in the, 60s, 50s.
Right.
And then, yeah, which is like a random mix for back then. Then my dad's just full Fiji Indian. But then my parents met over here. So yeah, it's this really random mix, like Dutch and Fiji Indian. There's like, I've never met anyone else with those two.
Okay.
But it's cool.
Right.
Yeah, but my mom like grew up here, so she's pretty like, she doesn't really have that Dutch kind of attitude. Like she grew up there until she was like 12 or 14 or something like that.
Okay.
And then came here.
Right.
So she's like pretty Aussie, like in the mentality. But then my dad grew up in Fiji. He came here when he was in his 20s.
Okay.
So then he's got more like the Fiji Indian type of.
Right.
Yeah, style. So it's interesting, eh? Right. Yeah, it's cool though. It's cool.
Right.
Yeah.
And childhood was in Mianjin?
Yes. Yes.
Which side of town?
North side, like near airport.
Okay.
Yeah, Virginia.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm still living at home at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah. So it's cool.
Right,
it's
right.
Yeah.
Usually I wouldn't like go into people's age, but you do strike me as like someone who's like doing a lot of stuff for their age.
True.
Are you comfortable sharing?
Yeah. Oh, I'm 20. I'm 20.
20. Yeah. So
I turned
0.
Yeah. So I turned 20 in January. Yeah. So it's cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Right.
It's good.
And so you're at uni, balancing. Yes. Uni and work and DJ career, like,
yeah,
how's all that stuff going for you?
Yeah, it's good, it's really good. It can get pretty busy sometimes though. Like, it's pretty much, I'm pretty much out of the house every day of the week,
right?
Somewhere,
yeah,
doing something,
right?
Which is good, I do enjoy it, but like, kind of gets to a certain point where it's like, I also want to do stuff for myself too, and like, just like focus on building myself as like a person, and like apart from like separate from like a career, just as like a person, you know. But anyway, like the whole balance stuff is good. I've been trying to balance for like 3 years. It's like going well, but
hey man, it's a lifelong thing.
It's a lifelong thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just gonna get busier from here. But yeah, like the uni stuff does take up a lot of my time, just because studying music, it's like there's a lot to do outside of class. It's like you have studio sessions, rehearsals,
yeah,
you know, like pre-production meetings, like all this kind of stuff. So it's just like that takes up a lot, probably most of the time. And then like the day job is just during the day. And I'm like, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then the night stuff is like the DJ stuff on the weekends. Right. So it's cool. It's good though.
Right, right. And what field are you doing for day job
work? I work at Foot Locker.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, shoes, yeah.
Okay. It's kind of a culture related.
Yeah, like, yeah. So it's pretty good. Like honestly, it's like I just enjoy it. Like all my mates like and stuff, we all work there and we just muck around all day. It's pretty fun.
Are you and were you a Jordan's enthusiast before being there?
Yes. Yeah. I didn't own Jordans though.
Okay.
I only had like one pair. And I knew all of them though, but I didn't really like, couldn't be bothered to go out and buy them.
Right.
But I was into them prior to, but now I'm kind of...
Is it dangerous now with the staff discount?
Yeah, but honestly, man, I'm kind of dwelling away from Jordans now.
Okay.
Like, I don't know.
Are you getting more refined in the taste?
Yeah, I feel like it's just like, it's becoming so oversaturated. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Every kid is wearing some Jordan 1 mids, like, and right. It's like, oh, it's kind of losing the value of it, eh?
Right.
But, right. Hey, I still like him, but I don't know. If only something really catches my eye, then I'll get it.
Okay.
But I don't know. It just depends.
Do you sell a lot of TNs?
I don't sell TNs, unfortunately. Not yet. I will, because you can get the good market value on them.
Right.
But not at the moment. I do own a few pairs, but I don't sell them.
For those who aren't familiar, what are some of the associations with TNs? Because like from my perspective of Western Sydney, I know it from a certain thing. But yeah, what's going on with TNs?
Hanging out at the train station. Nah. Yeah, just like little lad kids running around causing havoc pretty much is the stigma around it. But honestly, they're a good pair of shoes. I don't understand why... I wish they didn't, because if you see anyone working some TNs, they're always going to be like, nah, well, like, come on, man, what are you doing?
Right.
It's like, nah, they're nice, comfortable shoes. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I feel like it depends on the rest of your outfit, what you're wearing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, in thinking of shoes takes me back to childhood, and I grew up in the 90s, Western Sydney, and that sort of like that Air Max, like where you can actually see the bubbles on the side of the shoe, like that stuff was happening then, and I'm seeing a lot of it again now. Is it a direct throwback or
kind of like, I think nowadays like Air Maxes are pretty cool, and they're kind of bringing back lots of retro styles too. Like they did a re-release of like the Air Max 1 a couple months ago.
Okay.
And like, yeah, like with like 270s, like they got the massive bubbles on them. Like, I don't know, I think it's weird, like Air Maxes are still or always have been popular,
right?
But it just comes with like different kind of avenues of style. Hey, like different people wear them different ways.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's cool though. It's cool. Yeah. I feel like with fashion nowadays, it's like what's old is new, right? Everything is
a lot of nostalgia.
Yeah. It's crazy. Right. Like, yeah, it's cool though. It's really cool. And even like with like, you know, film cameras, like that kind of stuff, like everything is just like a cycle. Hey,
right. Right.
Music.
Do you play around with it? Like film and analog?
Not really photography. Hey, I've been trying to get into visual stuff, like graphic designing and that kind of stuff. I would love to own a film camera. I'm actually saving up to buy a camera. Not a film camera, like a video camera. Because I'm trying to get more into like the filming side of stuff and like visual side of stuff.
Right.
But yeah, film stuff's cool. I haven't used it personally. Like I've done a shoot with a dude. He was filming. His name's Aiden. He's a sick film photographer. And I kind of prefer it, like when people ask for like press shots, like you know, head photos and stuff. I kind of like the film kind of thing because it's kind of different. It's not just like it's less like harsh on the eyes. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah,
I don't know. It kind of just reflects like a personality a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do love the film stuff though. It's really cool. I really like that. It's coming back now. And yeah, it's cool. It's really cool. Yeah.
And how is that for you? Like connecting with like nostalgic things from the 90s or before? Is that something that you're connected to from siblings or your parents generate or like older peers? Like what connects you to that?
Not really. Hey, I just like in high school, I listened to lots of 90s music.
Okay.
Like,
right.
90s R&B was like the main thing I listened to.
Right.
Which is really random.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really like the music. I can't really say I connected too much of stuff apart from music from back then.
Right.
I mean, I was a massive Fresh Prince fan.
Yeah, okay.
When I was in primary school, I wanted to like wear like what the Fresh Prince was wearing. I was like, oh, mom, can you please get me this? Can you? She's like, you can't find this anywhere. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is from like, you know, 20 years ago. And then now everyone's rocking the same thing. You know right. what I mean? So it's pretty weird. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I can't really say like, I don't really have too much connection to the 90s apart from music. I mean, nowadays fashion wise, like it's pretty similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really. I don't really have too much of a connection. Hey.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. Like I kind of growing up, I wasn't really into fashion at all really or anything like that. Mm. And still now I'm kind of just getting into it slowly. I don't know. I'm not really, haven't found my niche yet, but trying to get into it. It's right. just so expensive.
Though. Yeah.
Clothes right. and stuff, but it's cool. It's cool. I do enjoy it.
Does being plugged into a place like Foot Locker sort of give you a certain eye for things?
Yeah, yeah, for shoes. But I'm kind of like, I've been kind of aiming to, there's a skate shop called Fast Times.
Okay.
They're like, I don't know, it's like my favorite store. They sell like all like Carhartt stuff and like Dickies and all,
right.
all these real cool brands and stuff. I'm yeah. kind of like, I'm kind of leaning more towards like a skate kind of, I don't know, dressy up kind of style.
Right,
personally,
right.
rather than like the sportswear.
If I think back to my kind of childhood and teenage phases, and I think I can distinctly remember a kind of, I think I grew up on like R&B and then I think went into the hip hop direction and then flipped to the skating side. And I remember just like, I don't know, like throwing away a Fuji CD or something dramatic True. Like that. Like I just had to like detach from that personality because I was this now.
Yeah.
Skate wasn't rap. And like, there was so much more like kind of rigid boundaries around things mm. and identity and expression, but it really doesn't feel like that at the moment.
Nah, I feel like now it's kind of very unified somewhat. Mm. I feel like even like music genres, they're blurring so much.
Yeah.
Like, you can't really call it, like, I mean, you can, but most people can't really call themselves, oh yeah, like I'm a pop singer or I'm an R&B singer, because people are kind of mashing it all together. And like, if you look at the pop charts or whatever, it's like half of them are hip hop songs on there. It's not even pop, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like the music taste of the majority, like of people, the music taste is kind of shifting to, like, I feel like, I don't know, 10 years ago, it was mainly like, you know, pop artists, like, mm. I don't know who, like, you know, maybe like Maroon 5 or like,
right.
those kind of guys, like yeah. the real like poppy kind of sound was right. real popular. But now, like, I feel like the hip hop R&B sound is driving
mm.
the scene. Even it's like Calm Down by Rema, like that song right. is still yeah. in the charts. Yeah. How old is that song? Like,
right, right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's real cool how like diverse the mainstream music scene is coming, right?
Mm.
Like, in Australia anyway, like, I don't know about the States, like, I've never been, I don't really know much about their kind of, what's going on there,
mm.
but here, like, it's pretty cool to see, like, so many types of music, like, being played everywhere,
mm,
and mm. people enjoying so many types of music, too.
Right.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's almost like, as in the age of legacy media dominating the conversation, mm. it's like there was one pop culture, and now with it so kind of niche and like split to so many different platforms, like there's like several different pop cultures that
yeah
that different groups of people are kind fully of aligned to, right?
Mm. 100%. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I think it's a good thing though. Like, I don't know, I think identity is good in like music or whatever, but then the other thing is just like, just embrace everything, right?
Mm. Mm.
You don't have to like be like, oh no, I only listen to this. I only listen to that. It's like,
yeah.
Why not? If you like it, you like it.
Right.
Like, there's no point putting like a barrier behind it. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or in front of it. But yeah, it's cool. Right. I don't know. It's
right.
good.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I think going back to my musical progression and identity stages as a kid, I think it was R&B, hip hop, skate music, skate in sort of surfy mode.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point went into like heavier stuff and metal.
Okay.
And
cool.
I was recently reminded by that because I worked on Knotfest run by Slipknot.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. And something that I found interesting about that, having gone to like three or four of these big, what is that venue? RNA Showgrounds, the mm-hmm. showground, some of these big touring festivals that do mm-hmm. multiple capital cities, I had not seen in my brief time in the city, like the last year or so, streets lined with people at 11 a.m. like for the opening. There was streets lined of people all dressed in black like that were that hungry and that keen for that music. So there is something to be said for, like, I guess, I don't want to say cult music, but like genres that have like a cult
following. I get what you mean. Yeah. I get what you mean. Yeah, for sure.
It felt like such a smart business decision from a band like Slipknot to have been around for 20 years and gone like, actually, no, we're going to be the promoter. We're going to run the festival. We're going to tour it around the world. And we know we've got a tight audience that's going to come out.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Hey, like, I guess people are like super loyal to that type of... I feel like that, like metal music in general, like people are very loyal to metal music. Like people that are metalheads, they're metalheads.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's cool. Like people are real into it. And yeah, that's interesting. I've never 11 a.m. like for the opener.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
People are like,
that is crazy.
I'm into metal. I'm going to be there the whole day. This is sold out. I know this is valuable. I know other people that can't get in. I'm going to go there early and be there the whole day. When I've been to some other big festivals that are a little bit more multi-genre and are not so defined in what they offer, you know, you get the cool kids like rocking up and like wanting to be in the VIP.
That's true, actually. Yeah, I went to Wildlands
this year. Same.
And like I got there pretty early for...
It was quiet, hey?
Yeah, I think I got there for like Remy Wolf or something.
Right,
like,
right.
During Remy Wolf set.
Yeah, no, I don't
and
think
it wasn't that. It wasn't that busy. And then by the time Dom Dolla was on at the end of the night, it was packed.
Right, right.
So yeah, I know that's interesting, like, seeing the two contrasting, like, festivals. Hey,
I think it's about that sort of cult following and that sense of community.
Yeah,
and like true. Level of enthusiasm and investment. Because something that I've observed, perhaps at Wildlands, if not Laneway, probably more so like Wildlands than Laneway, was the phenomenon of TikTok music.
Yes,
there was that. Who's that artist? The Take Me to the Moon tune. Like you and I can probably not name that artist right now, even though I'm into the UK scene. Like I'm into that, and I remember hearing that being a popular track, but I'm also like into like grime music and that style, but I can't name that artist. And right now, off the top of my head,
I think it's Junior Choi.
There you go. You got it. Yeah, well done. Yeah, yeah. Well done. Using your brain. Yeah. Nice one. Nice one. DJ Archive Brain. Nice work. So Junior Choi was on like some weird like third stage off to the side with a really sparse crowd.
Yeah.
And like Junior Choi's on the backdrop, and I don't know if everyone's like connecting. It's like, oh, hang on. And then he like starts playing the tune. It's like this moment of like, hang on, is this a cover? Oh, it's like, oh no, you're the artist from the song with like 200 million streams. And here you are on the other side of the world playing to like a sparse audience on the third stage.
It's at crazy.
A festival. It's,
I think that also comes with like how, what's the word? How like saturated the music scene is, like in terms of music online.
Yeah, yeah.
And like with TikTok too, it's like fast trends.
Right.
Like you'll be trending 1 week. Next week, no one knows who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So I feel like that kind of plays into that too. Hey, because I feel like personally, I'm not a massive fan of that song. Like it's okay.
Yeah.
But it's nothing like crazy. And I feel like just because of how catchy it is, that's probably, that's why I feel it would have popped off as much as it did. Right.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, it's interesting. Hey.
Definitely. And we're in a weird space. I hear the sort of discourse around TikTok musicians, TikTok producers getting signed, and then suddenly they have to produce a piece of music that's not 30, 60, 90 seconds long. And it's this big reckoning for them.
True.
So it's
that's interesting.
It's definitely a strange time and space, but I think all kinds of musicians either need to work on this thing of building a cult following somehow. And if you look at someone like Slipknot, again, I was, you know, into that at the time, like 99 when it came out, and have not paid that much attention to it since. But reflecting on it now, it's like, wow, they were like masters of the spectacle.
Yeah.
And they were bringing together like rap, like white guys from the States. Okay, there's nothing like super, super radical, but, you know, wearing full suits, doing... being under pseudonyms, like they were not known by their names for many years. Just really mastering that spectacle, which today would be like a kind of viral moment or something.
Right? Yeah,
like you would cut up a little clip of someone with nails coming out of their head and banging a beer keg. But they were doing spectacle
that, like for real.
You know,
like,
20-something years
ago. That's
So I think that's still something that people are trying to master. It's like, how can we do this spectacle? How can we draw people in?
Yeah, because I think now it's like, with the whole viral thing, it's like you can do that. You can draw people in, but then trends die. So within like a week, you won't really know who it is, which is like, I think the hard thing to stay relevant.
Yes. Yeah.
If someone like blows up as an artist or like as anything, like an influencer or something like that, I feel like the hardest part now is to stay relevant and to keep your fan base.
Yeah.
Just because there is so much in the media.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people can find something new tomorrow.
Right.
You know,
right.
like, you know what I mean? Hey, like, and I think as an artist like me, that's the hardest thing that I'm kind of struggling to, like, well, not struggling to, but wanting to do is like keep pushing my content and stuff so that people remember type of thing. Because like anyone can just post up reels every day and then, oh, that's them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So like staying relevant, I think, is quite important. And like it's hard to, I don't know, type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm still at the start of my career and everything like that, but I want to kind of push as much as I can. But just finding the right pathways and stuff too, like, want to focus on really what I want to do type of thing rather than like what I thought I wanted to do 3 years ago, 2 years ago, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah, so it's interesting.
Yeah, and you were mentioning earlier that for the last 2-3 years you've been trying to find like that own sort of personal sense of balance as well, right?
Yeah,
What does that look like?
I don't know. I actually don't know, to be honest. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I get carried away a lot with doing stuff outside and like helping, like doing stuff, like outside projects with like other people.
Yeah.
But then just taking time to do like stuff for myself, like, you know, going to the beach or like going to nature or just like, chilling out. Like, you know, like I really love nature and like going to the beach and stuff, but then finding the time for that is the issue. So I'd love to do that more.
Yeah.
But then also I'm just like, it's fine. Like that's how my life is right now. I'll just adjust to it. Yeah. So it's just like a constant battle of just like, you know, figuring it out. But I'm not in a bad place or anything. Like I'm happy. So it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mianjin's an interesting one for that as a city on the east coast of Australia. We're not super connected to beaches. Like, it's a bit of a mission, a bit of a car drive.
How is it, like, the only, like, city in Queensland without beaches? Like, it's the capital city.
Gold Coast, Sunny Coast.
Like, what? That's so stupid. Yeah. Every beach here is really, really bad.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's probably reflective of, like, the pre-industrial, or the industrial river-based economy of before it was set up and then for many years when it was in its prime.
Yeah, because I feel even like tourists when they come here, they come to Brisbane to go to the Gold Coast. Like no one ever stays in Brisbane. And it's cool. Like it's a nice city.
Yeah.
It's just like, I feel like it's a little bit slow, but it's picking up for sure. It's very underrated, I think so.
Right, right.
Yeah, lots of DJs, especially from other cities, have been like, far out, you guys are like kicking it
when they come into a trip.
Like in terms of like talent and like skill and stuff, people are like, oh wow, Brisbane like really doing their thing, like, right? It's pretty cool,
right?
But yeah, I think we're still as a city still trying to kind of wake up and to like to certain scenes and pick up a bit more.
Yeah,
people kind of go to bed by 9 o'clock. Like, no, not really, but you know what I mean. Like,
well, I mean, yeah, anything that's on at the showgrounds tends to finish around 10:30.
Yeah,
like, which I imagine is because of the hotels and apartments that are around it.
Super strict like lots of the venues have some mad strict policies, like because of other outside people. It's kind of annoying, but.
Yeah.
Can't do much about it.
Right.
I just feel like if you're going to live in the valley out of all places, like the valley is known to be the party district. You can literally live in any other suburb. Why are you going to complain about sound if you're living in the valley?
Yeah, exactly.
Like you can live literally anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah. The classic, like, not in my backyard.
Yeah.
Thing that I moved here yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it is what it is.
So you said that everyone leaves and it's also an underrated city. Where does that sit for you? Like, your career progresses, do you picture yourself having to leave to progress your career?
Not necessarily. I don't know. My goal is to move to Amsterdam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tracing your roots.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just think it's really cool over there in Europe and stuff. Also how like close everything is in Europe. But like, honestly, it's not like a set like goal for me right now. It's kind of just like, if my career progresses that way, then hell yeah, I'd go there.
Right.
But at the moment, I'm kind of still figuring it out. I think with like, my plan was to move like interstate or something.
Yeah.
But then I was talking to someone, talking about moving and stuff like that. And they were like, instead of like trying to move elsewhere and get into their scene, just build your scene here, which is kind of cool. And like, that kind of really resonated. I'm like, okay.
Was that a touring artist or was that someone based
here? Honestly, I can't remember who it was. Mm. I really can't remember who it was. Mm. It'll probably come to me.
Okay.
I really can't remember. Yeah. I can't remember who it was. But yeah, we were, yeah, just chatting. And then I was like, yeah, like I want to move, you know, I don't know. I'd love to move. Like, oh yeah, you could do that. But also you could just build up your scene here.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, yeah, that's very true. That would be really cool.
Mm.
So yeah, I don't know. Like me and my best mate, Tane, we started a thing called Serotonin, which is like it's still in the groundwork. So we only released the first episode, but basically make it like a platform for like creatives and like DJs, artists, whatever, anything, saxophone players,
yeah,
anything, just to like push themselves, like put themselves on like a platform, film a video, record it, put it out.
Right.
Just like put people on the map, like put Brisbane on the map especially. There's not really much like that. I don't know if there's many things like that here.
Right.
On an online, like I want to focus in mainly online. For now.
And is it going through YouTube as the long form?
Yeah, through YouTube, through SoundCloud. Cool. Nice. Who knows? Maybe we can one day get on Spotify if we can start getting stuff like that.
Mm.
But yeah, that's a big thing I want to push like this year. Just like, yeah, getting different, as many people on as we can, like different, like any type of music, doesn't really matter. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully, just got to work for it, make the connections and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited.
That sounds like a good move because short form social platforms are so transient that, like you say, it's like, you know, you post every day and someone will be like, oh yeah, that thing. But yeah, it's something that I believe in as well, is like moving towards these more long form platforms.
Yeah.
Is how you sort of play the long
game. Yeah. Obviously for promotion purposes, like we'll put out like TikToks and reels and YouTube
little
shorts.
Cut clips. The long thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Like what you do with the podcast. Yeah. So, like kind of little things like that just to push it. But you can't listen to a DJ set on TikTok. Like you can listen to one song maybe.
Right.
But it's about expressing yourself. So like you can't express yourself through one 10 second clip, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That much anyway.
Right.
But yeah, that's like the plan. Just start something different, you know. Like that's all, like that I've never done something like this, so it's different for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I wanted. Yeah. I'm excited. Should be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your approach to building your scene here now, like I wanna talk, like there is a few sides, like DJ, producer, musician. Mm. There's a few sides to your sort of sonic creativity, let's say. But in terms of your DJ career and building a scene here, how have you been the reason I asked you your age before is it's probably, I imagine you have some people say, man, I see you everywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like you're on, and I have that experience as well. It's like, oh, there's a gig. Oh, size on the lineup.
Yeah.
Oh, size on the lineup. Mm. It's like, How have you gotten to the stage where you can do that, and what drives you to keep doing that?
Like as in getting on like lineups and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know really. Like, cause I didn't really come into the scene with connections like that. I kind of only knew one guy who put me onto Sunday Service, which was like, it's now called The Service.
Okay.
And they're at Ling Ling's in the Valley. So, So I basically played my first set there. And some of the boys that ran that, they ran Friday nights at Boulevard. So then I started playing there as well. And kind of people have kind of just messaged me to do stuff, really. I haven't really reached out to too many places for gigs. Generally, that kind of come to me. I think just because, like, I don't know, new face in the scene. I don't know.
And people like your stuff.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's cool. I'm really happy with how it's been the last 2 years, or year and a half or so, coming up to 2 years actually.
Mm.
But yeah, I think just through meeting people, I like to talk a lot as well. Like when I'm out, like I just talk to people and be like, oh hey, how's it going? Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And then
that comes naturally.
Yeah, establish a connection, and then people are like, oh yeah, okay, let's get that guy. Like I don't know. Yeah, I think so. I actually don't really know, to be honest. I have no idea. And I've got some great mates that have put me onto stuff as well.
Yeah.
Shout out to D Chili. He he's put me onto a few like events and stuff that have come out from like interstate and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So that's been real cool. Yeah, just having like a solid team, hey, around us, and like just yeah, just being good people, I guess. And I'd like to think that I'm a nice guy, so I feel like that's like a bigger reason as to why, like,
right,
I've made the connections, just yeah, just talking and stuff rather than keeping to myself and acting, yeah, like, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think so. I feel like a lot comes from just like, yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so like a few early opportunities, having some social proof of being on a lineup.
Yeah.
And then just like saying hi and being warm and for just sure, making like genuine connections.
Yeah, for sure. And I get really like stoked, hey, when I see like my name still like on like a post. I'm like, oh, all right, that's cool as. Yeah, like that's like, oh, that's my name on a poster. That's
right,
cool.
Right. And so you're sharing that with enthusiasm.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's still exciting for me, hey. So yeah, it's cool. It's really cool. I think, yeah, just I'm still like really excited to just do what I do.
Yeah.
And looking back, like lots of the guys that are playing in Brisbane, like I used to watch their Instagram videos and be like, oh man, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Now I'm like hanging out with them, like getting lunch and stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Even though it's like just little stuff, but for me that was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Do you keep track of like stats and like how many gigs have you done now?
I actually don't know. My invoice count, I think so, is like 113 or 14.
Of only like DJ gigs?
Yes. Or
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, just DJ gigs, yeah.
And over what time period is that?
It is from July 2021.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, so it's not a crazy amount.
Right.
And
there would be like a few like passion projects and house parties and stuff in between.
Not really house parties. I never really did house parties.
You just went straight to same for me. I just like kind of fell into DJing and suddenly I'm just a resident guy at a beach club in Sri Lanka. Like,
yeah, true. Oh no way. Yeah, that's sick. What type of music were you playing?
It was like I would do 4 or 5 hour sets.
Holy.
So I would kind of play the room.
Cool.
And in the sense, in like quite a fun way, like, cause I only fell into it. There was this app, DJ Pro on an iPad that would plug into Spotify. And suddenly without the barrier of like having to go and collect and download my music and stuff, I could just like pull these things in and then still like mix and stuff.
True.
And like actually started on a rooftop of a backpacker hostel, an Australian surf hostel that I was managing in south of Sri Lanka. So
no way.
On a beach. And just so we had this rooftop area and people would just be hanging out of an evening. It was BYO at the time. And there would just be this need to play music. So I would just like play some music and people would be into it. And then when there was not a very diverse music scene at the time happening there. It was kind
of were you playing mainly like Sri Lankan music?
No, or? it was like very foreigner dominant.
Okay, true.
Scenes.
Yep.
There was, yeah, certainly at times there was more local interaction, and I think it was very rare that I would actually play in. I would play my live music set in Colombo, but the DJ stuff would generally be in coastal locations.
Cool.
But
yeah, that's awesome.
And so it went from like rooftop chilling to this venue called Dots Bay House, and they had a couple of spots. They had like more of a cafe lounge cocktail sort of spot, and then more of a beach bar kind of spot. And so I'd go down there once a week for, I don't know, I want to say like 6 months to a year.
Sweet.
I did play a couple of New Year's sets, so it might have been over a couple of years, but I was in and out of Sri Lanka at the time. But did this thing of like I would have a melodic musical menu.
Okay.
And put it out to the tables. And I think I might have put my, IG or WhatsApp number or something on there. I had a way for people to kind of crowdsource in a way that I would kind of curate.
So yes.
I would put like little prompts, like tell me about a song from your country,
right.
Or like tell me about like, you know, something that's hype, something that's chill.
Yeah.
And I would get sort of certain, because like, I'm sure you're aware of the nightmare that requests can be for a DJ. But here I was like doing these long chill sets from like, you know, evening drinks to through dinner through to like more party mode. And I would just be the one.
That's crazy.
And
yeah.
So because I had that software that could play Spotify, I would end up just like previewing a song in the headphones. And then I'd be basically DJing a song I'd never heard before because they just texted me saying like, oh, you should try this tune from Holland.
No way.
Or something. And it'd
that
be something
so
in Dutch.
Cool.
And I'd just be like, pull it up, check out the BPM. Like, oh, cool. I'm going to weave that in. So I had this weird.
That is sick.
I had the weirdest introduction. Cool. And I had so many. I think my first taste of like things like Anderson Park and like lots of things
true.
Were from
that
people
is,
going like, hey, play this cool new tune. And I was like, oh, whoa. Like, so it's like this.
That is sick.
Really strange way to
you
come,
like,
come into
yeah,
it.
You would have like heard so much music through
yeah.
that too.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
like, I feel like going doing that in like a venue now, you get like a million different types of like music. So like that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be. And I know that particular like Spotify pulled out of that deal. I think you can only do it through Tidal and certain
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. I think
now.
Spotify's out of most of the DJ kind of stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, it could be a fun thing to do today.
That's very cool.
Yeah. And then, and so then that would lead to some more gigs, and I think it was 3 New Years in a row that we played the same spot. I would do my live set, DJ set, and then the Soul, like the greatest band in Sri Lanka, would play the
true.
New Year's set, and I would just try to keep up with them keep up with the energy in between. And we had this really nice kind of thick thing, but like I never took, because I was a live musician, I was like, yeah, this is music, DJs. Whatever. That's
what was your live set?
Something. It was live vocal looping.
Cool.
I had this whole alter ego and this thing that I toured around for 7-8 years.
No way.
Called Larry T. Hill. It was this, like kind of hip hop comedy thing.
True.
And
okay.
I would use. Have you seen Satika use the 505?
Yeah,
looper?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
it's
that
yeah.
same one.
Okay,
and
sick.
Just voice. Yeah.
How was COVID for you?
COVID.
Yeah.
I was based in Northern Rivers at the time, and so it was.
Okay.
It was a bit. You know, they were fairly rebellious
yeah,
around there.
Of course, yeah.
And like, we also didn't have a huge lot of restrictions. And so I think generally, like, you know, being a cyclist, I could call riding my bike to the beach and going for a swim exercise. So it was like, it was pretty, you know, like, I don't think I was doing that at the heights of it when things were pretty strict, but like generally you could.
It was pretty relaxed.
Yeah. It was pretty relaxed around there. Like definitely some characters.
Yeah,
very strong vaccine hesitant or anti-vax sentiment in the area. But generally speaking, apart from like losing 6 months of event work overnight.
Crazy. Affected the creative industry so bad.
Yeah,
so bad. Yeah.
Yeah. How was it for you? Were you
I was
active?
In high school. Yeah. Yeah. So,
that's so
I was in grade 12. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you're like, sweet, no school.
Yeah, honestly. I was, literally. We're like online school for like, I don't know, 8 weeks or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, literally just doing nothing for 8 weeks.
Right.
It was, yeah, honestly, it wasn't good, but like, could have been a lot worse. Like, I didn't like really, yeah, I was kind of just chilling for most of the time.
Yeah.
We didn't, I don't think it was that long of lockdown either. I think we were back and forth in school and that kind of thing. So it wasn't too bad for me. Mm. Yeah, it was just like, stay home, work on music. Do schoolwork. Like, that's it, really. So I think 2021 was a bit tough because that was when it was like all like weird. When it was like half COVID, half not, and
yeah.
then masks and no masks, sitting down in the club, blah 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 blah.
Right
That was weird because that's when I started, and like first like 4 gigs were like, oh, more than that, my first like probably
were they like no dancing gigs.
Yeah,
whoa.
Yeah,
so first DJ gigs are
literally my
dancing
first,
is not allowed.
Yeah, literally like probably my first like I wonder,
oh my god.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, first 3 or 4 months, I'm just playing to people just sitting down.
First 3 or 4 months.
I think so, yeah, something like that. I can't really remember, but it was something like that.
The very thing that you're trying to do as a DJ is prohibited. And your first 3 or 4 months of gigs is...
Yeah.
That is wild.
It's pretty funny, eh? Yeah.
And then, like, the first gig you could do with dancing, what did that feel like?
It was good. It was good. I'm trying to remember. I think it was, like, my first late night set.
As well?
Yeah.
Right.
It was, like, 11 to 12 or something. I had, like, Sunday service.
Because it'd been, like, all, like, openers up until then?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I DJ from my laptop with Serato.
Yeah.
And the decks we had were really old. And I had to use this little interface, little SL box to connect my laptop to CDJs and mixer and stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, that night it didn't work. So I had to play USB for the first time. Into CDJs.
With no experience.
With no experience with USB in like my first like dancing crowd, like late night. And there were CDJ like 800s with like no waveform. So I was like stressing like so bad.
Had you even used an XDJ or anything?
Nah.
So you went straight from laptop to no look CDJs.
Yeah, it was pretty tough.
What the?
But
baptism of fire.
I know, but it was good. Like, hey, like looking back, I'm like, man, I'm actually happy I played USB on those old things because now if I ever have to use it, I can, like type of thing. Yeah, it was stressful. I was like, what the hell do I do now? Like, because I don't know. I always had issues with my laptop. I don't know why.
Right.
And it was just, I bet you I just put one cable in the wrong thing when I was just already too stressed out. It was pretty, pretty hectic. But yeah, it was okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And then people got up and danced?
Yeah, people were still dancing. People were already dancing. So right. I'm lucky I had music on my backup USB.
Yeah. So you're very much mixing with your ears then.
Yeah. Like now?
Or no, back then? when you can't see the waveform on CDJ.
Yeah. You're just, yeah, literally, like, you got headphones.
100% with ears.
And you're just, like, kind of nudging it to the right. Yeah.
Right.
Because you literally can't, there's, like, no waveform. It's, like just lines. And, like, they just go up and down, but you can't actually see, like, it's, like, the full song view, not, like...
Okay.
Yeah, if that makes sense. Yeah.
You can't zoom in and
see to get
your beats or anything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so now are you then CDJ savvy? Like you can play on whatever's in front of you?
Yeah, pretty much. I've kind of learned to spin on like whatever.
And you had to learn that in situ, like in front of people.
Yeah.
Right.
It was so scary because I was like, I've never used these before. Like, wow, I can't see the waveform and stuff. But it was okay. It worked out. I can't really remember. Like I'm sure there would have been issue like stuff ups and whatnot, but like
yeah
it is what it is. Right. I'm still alive, so
do you record many of your sets?
I didn't before because my laptop was really shit. Like it was sorry, I don't know if we're allowed to swear.
My bad. Say whatever you want. Yeah.
It wasn't really bad, but like it the CPU was bad. I bought it in like grade 12. It was like an i5 core. Like nothing was, it was like, it started crashing
right.
like during my sets, which was really bad.
Yeah.
So I didn't, but now I have a new laptop and I've recorded a few and just kind of kept them there. But sometimes I forget about it really just because like caught up in the moment. You're just like, you forget to press record.
Yeah.
I would love to record them more like club sets.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool. But I've recorded a few like mixes.
Yeah.
And like with the Serotonin mixes and stuff. Like we recorded one, we're doing one next week. So yeah, I think I'm lacking on the mixes though, like on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And whatnot. But yeah, I'd love to record more just like club stuff.
Right.
I'd love to actually film it. I'm trying to get a GoPro so I can just like put it there.
Yeah.
And then just like film and record and then you can just post up on YouTube or whatever. But yeah, it's cool. I'd love to do more. My laptop was like, my old one was so bad. Like when I did the Jio open air event, my laptop literally crashed during my set.
Okay.
Fully just like died. And I was like, what the hell do I do now?
Right.
But yeah, that was pretty interesting. But
if you like crashed into learning like club decks and CDJs and the USB workflow.
Oh yeah, I can use USB.
So what's your preference now, laptop or?
I kind of prefer a laptop just because I use lots of like this, like now Serato has like stems, like stem features and you can kind of make like acapellas on the fly and that kind of thing, which I have been using a lot. Mm. I can still mix on USB. Mm-hmm. And I did for a bit of time when I didn't really like when, well, for example, if I go to a club and the decks are old, you can't connect your laptop and you have to use USB.
Right.
And I really enjoy playing USB too. Like, it's good fun.
Yeah.
I feel safe with my laptop because I have everything there.
Yeah.
And I've kind of just like been using that the most.
Right, right.
But I don't mind.
But sometimes it makes the changeovers a bit awkward sometimes.
Some it can,
pro,
yeah.
Some of the pro DJs go,
yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, what are you using a laptop for? Yeah. Yeah. It can be. And I feel like, especially in like boiler room settings, you never see any laptop DJs, which is weird. Like, it's kind of interesting.
So a friend of mine put it to me that, you know, women as one group of underrepresented DJs, like, and I guess this applies to like other groups of underrepresented DJs as well. Yeah. Without having that access to CDJs and to the record box workflow to load up your USB, learn all the things, that becomes an added barrier that doesn't let us kind of get onto that club level.
Yeah, for system, sure.
Which is, something that informed me getting an XDJ.
Yeah, they're great.
And R recently.
Yep.
You just mentioned Open Air.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask about, you've been playing lots of gigs. Your dream is to go to Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done some supports for some sort of dream artists? Like, what's it been like for you?
Jayo was pretty cool for me because like he's like a massive inspiration, like, for me. He's just like nuts on like all levels.
Yeah.
And I kind of also
and
relate
so he's
to
Amsterdam
him.
Based.
He is Amsterdam based.
And his cultural background?
He is Micronesian or Melanesian. Okay. I can't remember
comes
which one.
Small.
Yeah, small island. I forgot the name of it. It's off some Maluku, I think, so it's called.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, so pretty much all of like my favorite producers, DJs are coming out of Amsterdam. It's pretty nuts. Or like Netherlands.
Right.
But yeah, Jayo was a massive thing for me because I kind of relate to him on a certain level as well because he's like a musician, like he plays instruments, sings, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
As well as he's a DJ. And I'm like, oh,
that's
man.
Right. He got on the mic quite a bit.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh man, that's cool. I can do that too. Because like I've always like been really confused. Which pathway should I go down? Should I go down the music, singing, blah, 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 pathway? Or should I focus on the DJ stuff? It's like, well, just do both. Just do both as long as you do both well, right?
Yeah.
So that was cool opening for him. I recently did a studio session with Dave Nunes, which was really cool. He's another DJ, our producer from Netherlands. I don't know if he's from Amsterdam, but he's from Netherlands.
Okay.
He did the open air. That was recent.
Right.
I haven't really done too much more openings for many other international artists so far. No, I haven't.
Right.
I don't think so. I haven't done any other open airs, I don't believe. But that's okay.
And
one day.
What are some of the things that you'd learn from these guys when they swing through? And particularly when you're a support act, I imagine you have some interactions with them. Like for me, looking at the Jail set, like, there's a lot of, like, you know, genre hopping DJs or whatever, but I've not seen anyone do it like that.
Oh, my God. He he is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, that was, like, honestly one of the best sets I've seen, like, that I've seen in real life. I was like, what the actual hell is going on? Like, that honestly was such an inspiring day for me because I'm like, wow, this guy is literally from Europe and he's in Australia having a whole room of people dancing to his music. Like, that is sick.
Yeah.
Even though it's on the biggest crowd in the world, but people are there for that.
Yeah.
Like, people are there.
Yeah, there was like a venue change or something, right? Like,
There was, yeah. And like, oh, honestly, that was super inspiring to me, hey, like seeing that. And just seeing how people reacted just to the music stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, there didn't even need to be lyrics. Like, you didn't have to sing it. It's just the music that's playing out of the speakers.
What's with these DJs that are just trying to break my Shazam? It's just, you can't find those tracks.
No, it's all SoundCloud, Bandcamp.
But not even, like, I feel like he gets some, because there was a, that Thousand Kisses tune. He played and it samples, like, it samples something like a George Benson record.
Okay, true.
And I think it's they could be a Maori artist.
Okay.
And I managed to track it down, but I could only find like the vocal version.
Okay.
And I feel like beyond SoundCloud, beyond these sort of DJ record pools and things like that, there's probably like like, you know, Jyoti and Jael are like kind of on a little chat together going, what tunes you got, man? Here's this one.
100%. And producers definitely sending each other stuff all the time. Like unreleased stuff for sure.
Right.
100%. Even just us boys in Brisbane, like, someone will whip up like an edit or something.
Yeah.
And then they'll just send it through the Google Drive and like the DM. Be like, give this a run.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so exclusive. I feel like it's pretty, and like with that whole selection scene, like, like Jyoti, Jael, like Dave Nitt, all those guys, they're all connected, right? So like they'll all be sharing music with each other, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because like think about how much music will be coming out of like Europe, right? Like, so there'd definitely be producers that just don't release their stuff. So yeah, it's pretty cool, like that whole digging for like music and that kind of thing, that kind of scene as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cool.
So I think I asked a question and then talked all over it, but I was asking like, yeah, what do you get out of seeing these kind of idols come through?
Oh, cool.
Like,
what's it like watching? Inspiration, honestly, like just like seeing someone do that and do it halfway across the world, across the world.
Yeah.
And people like just vibing so hard to it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I would love to do that one day too. Yeah. So for me, mainly it's like inspiration, just kind of like watching what they're doing as well. Like, like listening, like slowly like, oh, what's that song? It's just like, especially cause like that's kind of scene is the scene that I really do want to get into. So just listening a lot, to that kind of stuff is like mainly like, yeah, it's mainly inspiration for me. I actually did also do another selection artist, his name is J-Rob. He did an Australian tour. I opened up for him as well. That was really cool.
Because
we just got like lunch and stuff, a few of us guys.
Mm.
And just chatting about like music and stuff, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And like this dude from the States, like, you know, I don't really ever meet people from America, right? In Australia.
Right.
This guy, like, yeah, it's like a talking full American accent. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, it's pretty interesting.
Right.
But yeah, and like even like, yeah, like after we had lunch, I like dropped them back to the hotel and stuff and we're just chatting in the car.
Yeah,
I was like,
cool.
Damn, really got like a guy from all the way from like America that's like produced for so many people. It's like sitting in my car right now. It's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, and it's about those little moments, right?
Yeah. Like little things like, yeah, it was just like, because they were going to get an Uber and I'm like, no, I'll just drop the guys off.
Yeah, make it personal.
There's little stuff like that. And it's like, it's just cool. Like build that connection type of thing. And just like, just talking. I just want to absorb as much as I can from these people. Yeah, because there was two guys from Perth as well. Ash, his name is, he runs Honeycut, like a touring and like events business. And then Mowgli, he's a DJ. I don't know if you know Mowgli.
No,
he's a Punjabi guy.
Okay. Yeah.
He's playing Splendor this year as well.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, so he's from Perth. And I was the first time I met him and Ash and J-Rob. I never met them before.
Okay.
So I just wanted to like just chat and be like, oh, these guys are from Perth. So I'm like, I don't know anyone in Perth.
Right, yeah.
So I was just chatting and absorb, because I've been doing it for a long time as well. I just want to learn as much as I can, really. Yeah, that's just absorb as much as I can from all these guys that I meet that have been doing the industry for a while. So
yeah,
it's cool. It's really cool.
And is being an opening act like a rite of passage? Like, how does it feel like playing to unknown quantities or no one?
Yeah. Honestly, I don't really mind. Like, some people were like, oh, no, don't put me on the opening set. Like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's, hey, if I'm on the lineup, I don't really mind. Obviously, I would like to play to people.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
It definitely is a rite of passage. No one is like hitting their first DJ set and like the headlining spot. So, yeah, I think definitely it is kind of like a progression. Because when I first started, I was only doing opening sets. For every event that I did, I'd only do the opening set.
Yeah.
And slowly start getting, okay, second set, third set. So just, it's all the, process.
Right.
And like, I'm happy. I don't really like feel the need. Like, I've done a few closing sets, which is cool.
Yeah.
That's like end of night.
Just playing after the, yeah.
That's cool because at the end of the night, everyone's like wasted. Everyone's just like having a good time. So you can play really whatever.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy just playing sing along. Like,
yeah.
I'm not a, like, I really like just like vibey stuff. Like, that's kind of my jam. So playing closing sets is fun because you can just play like sing along stuff. People just sing and like get in their feels, that kind of thing. So I really enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I think opening is just like, it's kind of just you do that naturally. And yeah, it's cool. I enjoy it. Yeah. And like sometimes if I'm playing to no one, that's cool because you can just play whatever you want. Usually like I have my boys that come and through and like if I'm opening, they'll come through for my opening set. So we're just like
jammed
together. Yeah, so it's fun. Yeah.
Get your crew to support.
Yeah, exactly. I have a really like really good mates that come support me. So
was that the crew I saw you with at Jyoti?
Yes, that is one of the crew. I've got a few different mates that come around. Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much a few of them in one spot together. Mm. So there's like the boys that were there that night, they were actually my high school mates, all the guys I was with. But then there was a separate group that we met up with.
Right.
They're kind of all like in the DJ kind of scene, like nightlife kind of scene.
Right.
So yeah, that was, how good was Jyoti though?
Yeah.
That was probably like my second favorite. Like Jael and Jyoti seeing both of them live was just like crazy. Mm. That was nuts. Her set was so good. Just like she played everything.
Yeah.
And like so good too. And like she played like that, like it was a solo by Frank Ocean.
Yeah, like with that the remix, drum and bass. I've been trying to find that.
It's like a Bio-Lef funk remix. I was like, what the hell is going on? Like I was like, what? And it was so cool seeing same people show up for that and like just sing their hearts out, eh?
Yeah.
It was really cool. It was like really wholesome night, I feel like. Like everyone was just there to just enjoy the music.
I think what was she was expecting, like I don't know, like a venue like a quarter that size or something.
Oh,
I think
true.
She was posting, and then it was just like
whoa. Massive. Yeah, yeah. Because when I saw it was at Felons, I was like, oh, that's a really random venue.
Yeah, it was one of the only free Jyoti sets around the country.
Yeah. I was like, that's a really random place to have Jyoti. Like, considering like Felons is usually like pretty preppy,
right.
Like
yeah, right.
Years after work type vibe.
Yeah,
and then I got there pretty late, just before she started.
Okay,
and the crowd was like filled with like all different types of people.
Right,
and even like probably the regulars that go there were still jamming along. Like I think Felons probably was a really good place to have it because, well, free festival.
Yeah.
Second of all, massive spot. Third of all, like it's like already people going to be there.
Yeah,
and I feel like with her music, you can just get along to it no matter what. And it's just also it's like just a different place to go to, right? Like when do they have DJ sets at Felons? I don't think it's very often. I've played there with my band,
right?
But I've never seen a DJ set at Felons. But yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. And I loved that she played a few like Indian songs too. Like,
yeah.
I was like in the crowd, I was like singing. There's this one like Punjabi song. It's like UK Punjabi. Called Nachle Sonia.
Yes.
Do you know that song? The UK. It's like UK garage.
But
it's new. It sounds old, but it's new.
Yeah.
And I was like singing. I was like, I've never heard this live before. I was so happy. Yeah.
Nice.
But it was really cool. It was really cool.
Mm. You mentioned playing the late set and playing to like a wasted crowd and they're sort of easy to please kind of thing. As a working DJ, your profession takes you out to these alcohol spaces, these wasted spaces, out into the valley. You're seeing casualties all around you. I don't want to play the like old man when I was your age kind of thing too hard, but just hear me out for a sec.
No, you're good.
Like, I think when I was your age, I was like probably at the peak of my like, oh yeah, alcohol. But then that petered off really quickly for me, and my folks tell me that like come my 21st I was just like kicking back with a tea.
True.
And my cousins were making fun of me because like, oh, why aren't you drinking, it's your 21st. No, I was like, oh, I'm just chilling. And then you know, since then, that, you know, shortly after probably my early to mid 20s, like it petered right off and then went down to zero. And so for now many years I've not drunk at all. And when I was a touring artist, I would reflect on, actually, I wasn't that conscious of it at the time, but like now I've kind of finished up doing all that. I kind of have reflected back going like, oh, I've lost family members who are musicians to alcohol.
True.
My mum's brother, my mum's, he was a musician. And then other cousins, another family member who was not a musician to alcohol. And I don't know how much of that like stepped in subconsciously and informed that kind of thing.
Yep.
But the other angle on it was that I was just, perhaps like yourself, just this super keen music person, this musician. I would just go out to as many gigs as I can. And I quickly learned that like, wow, what are these insane bar prices? I'm just going to drink water so I can do more on the door entries and like buy more CDs.
Yeah, 100%.
So I'm just curious, like, and so when I was a touring artist, I realized that like I had saved myself this occupational hazard of alcohol being in all of our workplaces all of the time, and it just wasn't an option for me, and I didn't have to, you know, manage any of the things of being hungover or that influence in have any effect on my performance or anything like that. Like,
yeah.
What's it like? You're in the you're just hit 20. Like you're yeah. you're like right at this like drinking sort of age. But like, yeah. what is it like for you, particularly with your career?
It's okay. Like, I don't really drink every time. I mean, like, obviously, like, I do enjoy a drink.
And, yeah.
Like, I will, depending on the day, kind of depends on, like, what's the plans. If I'm with, like, lots of people, then,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
I'll get on it a bit.
Mm.
But it's not crazy for me. Like, I think generally, like, I don't really drink too much if I'm playing, like, on, like, a Friday.
Yeah.
Or sometimes if I'm on a Saturday, but generally Sundays is probably when we do.
Right.
Just because, yeah. like,
you're conscious of keeping it's, it and
it's
together?
All about friends. It's like, it's mainly when we're with our friends, hey, like, yeah. lots of our friends come out on Sundays, we get on it. But like, it's also not weekly either. It's kind of just like,
yeah,
when we feel like it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And then like, for you being in those environments, like,
yeah, like what, I don't what know. It's okay for me. Like, I don't really affect me too much, really.
Mm.
When I do go sober, I mean, like, obviously I have had my experiences when like getting drinking too much,
yeah,
when I'm out and stuff, yeah. and it's not good,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
I have learned from that,
mm-hmm.
Definitely learned from that. And it's, yeah, I don't know, it's kind of just like I'm just trying not to be stupid with it, basically. Yeah. And I feel like I'm getting there,
yeah,
I'm not really the type to like do really stupid stuff when I am like intoxicated or whatever,
yeah.
But yeah, the environment for me, like, it doesn't really affect me, hey, like, you're always at like. There was a night I went out recently and I was sober. I was driving and stuff. Mm. And people were like, oh, no, just drink. Come on, just please, just have one. Yeah. Come to my booth. Come on, have one.
Right.
And I'm like, nah, like, I'm driving, man. Like, I'm honest. I'm trying to do a sober streak, blah, blah, blah. Like, nah, all good.
Yeah.
And then like, okay, yeah, whatever. And then they come back 10 minutes later. Come on, have one. I'm like,
yeah.
Nah, like, yeah, you don't understand. Like, some people can be a bit pushy.
Yeah.
But it just depends. Like, I feel like people do also understand when you're like, nah, I'm not tonight. Like, okay, yeah, fair enough.
That's yeah. cool.
Because it is like, people go out to drink. Like, it's weird if you're sober and you're in a club.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, if you are, that either they're like, oh, what the hell?
Mm.
Or they're like, oh, yeah, good for you. Like, it's like kind of two things around it. Hey?
Right.
Yeah, because like, most of last month, when I would go out, I didn't really drink at all. I was trying to do like a sober thing for a bit of time.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was cool. So half the time, honestly, it's like I can't be bothered to, like, because if like after, yeah. I'll just drive,
right?
Or like if I like spend like, money
you,
on
you got
an
a
Uber.
Job to do, like literally, right?
Yeah, yeah. Luckily, I've never been like too drunk to play.
Yeah,
like that's never happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like yeah, I don't know. It's like money as well. Saving money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And like
Ubers mainly. Because I'm on my P's too.
Right. Oh, so, yeah. So it's zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I'm not going to risk it. I don't want to lose my license.
I think that's what it was like for me when I was like playing gigs with my drum kit and being the drummer would always have to drive to the gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the same thing of like P's and zeros. And like, I just never got into the venue alcohol thing.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, I love a beer. Like, yeah. Like, or like, honestly, I'd prefer to drink like go out for dinner or go to the pub.
Right.
With like the mates.
Yeah.
Rather than go to the club and drink. Because I don't enjoy clubbing like if I'm not DJing.
Yeah.
Like, I went out on Saturday night. Recently we went to a 21st and then after we went out,
yeah,
and it was cool, like seeing my mates and stuff.
Yeah.
Then I just got bored. I was like, what am I doing? Like, I don't really like dancing too much, so I was like,
oh really?
Yeah, not right. really, like, I don't know, it depends to what type of music,
right? Okay. Yeah, yeah. So the being particular about the music
then. Yeah, I don't know, like sometimes, or if I'm like, I wasn't really that drunk either, so I wasn't really like in the mood to like, you know.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I was gonna go home. So right. I just went home.
Right.
Like, I'm not a massive fan of going out, hey, like that.
Yeah.
And this is to like an event to like support like the mates and stuff. For example, like, yeah, Open Air or like Sunday's Lemonade, one of those events I'll definitely just go to like that.
Yeah.
But clubbing, I'm not a huge fan. Yeah.
Right.
I do like raves though. I've never been to a proper rave.
Okay.
But I've been to a few events where they've had like, you know, like hip-hop, oh, not hip-hop, sorry, like techno,
yeah.
or like drum and bass or something in like the side room. I'll be in the side room rather than the main room. Just because I'm like, oh, this is cool.
I'll have to heat you up for the next drum and bass.
Dude, please. I've been trying to go to a rave for the longest time.
All right. And well, like, Earth Frequency's coming up.
Yeah. Earth Frequency. Out of Ipswich. Yeah. I was supposed to play that, I think so. There's a Tibetan artist called Tenzin.
Yeah, Tenzin Chogyam.
Yeah, with him.
All right.
Yeah.
Playing at Earth Frequency.
Yeah, I don't know. Whoa. I think he's away at the moment, so yeah. I don't think we're doing it anymore, but we were talking about it, so that would have been cool.
Nice.
But yeah.
I understand that music entered your life at an early age.
Yeah.
Was it from a musical family?
Yeah, pretty much. So my uncle, he was a drummer.
Right.
Like he was like in a metal band as well.
Okay.
Yeah, my mom's brother.
Yeah, right.
In a metal band, like he played drums and he also played tabla as well.
Uh-huh.
So like when I was younger, like he was like my role model and stuff when you're like a little kid.
Right.
I mean, still now.
Right.
Like, percussion still look up to him. Rhythm. Yeah, yeah, fully. Yeah, so I was always like, because we like play at the temple and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'd always like be sitting next to him, like watching, oh, this is cool. Like there's like photos of me like on my phone, like when I was like 2 years old, like hitting like double and stuff. So I've always like been in that. And then my dad also was a singer back in Fiji.
Right.
In like the nightclubs and stuff. You sing in a band, do like all like the Bollywood stuff and that kind of thing. So I've always kind of grown up in that kind of environment.
Right.
So
there wasn't much of that sort of sometimes typical South Asian thing of like, oh, you know, art is this thing over there.
Yeah, nah.
Focus on your studies.
I was actually going to ask you, how has your family reacted to like you doing like all the music and creative stuff?
So I think in a similar way, like my mum is a career musician, singer and music teacher.
Oh, cool.
Unfortunately,
cool.
I didn't pick up on the melodic training when I was younger, I did get into playing drums
and
dance and that kind of
nice,
thing.
Nice,
I think they've always been supportive, but still encouraged me to go to uni. And I last minute managed to like scrape together the results to get into the industrial design, sustainable design degree that I wanted.
Sweet.
But then I left in my final year to get into sustainable event production.
Cool.
And then never went back.
Yeah.
And I think like, you know, there's probably some heart stopping moments in there. I think at a few points they sort of gently encouraged me to go to uni or firmly encouraged me to go to the academically selective state school. But
did you grow up in
Western Sydney? When I was migrated, born in Dubai and migrated when I was 18 months.
Okay.
To
Sydney.
And Sydney and Western Sydney.
Nice.
And then moved to inner west Sydney and was based out of there. But left Sydney, 2009. So I've kind of been on the move
around since then. Yeah, sick.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's cool. Yeah, because it is a stigma for like brown people to be like, oh, music. It's pretty funny whenever like I see like family friends or something and they're like, oh, so what are you studying? Oh, I'm studying music. Oh, that's great. It's always good to be yourself and do what you want to do.
Yeah, live like, your dreams.
Yeah. Also, what's your backup plan? I'm like, man, come on. Like, in all seriousness, though, my backup plan is just to do teaching.
Teach music.
Which, yeah. I mean, I still want to do. Hopefully, next year I can do that.
Mm.
It's not really a backup plan, but it's like, I'll do that on the side as well. But yeah, so what was your original question again? I completely forgot it.
Yeah, it was just like kind of like asking about like the
musical household growing
up.
Yeah. So pretty much, always been musical in the house. And then, when I was 8, I was just like home one night and then this like man walks into my house and then my dad's like, oh, come meet your tabla teacher. And I'm like, oh, sick, okay. And I'm like, okay.
I'm going to have to learn these things I've been tapping since I was 2.
Yeah. And I was like, I hated it at the start.
Mm.
I was like, nah, this is crap. Like, I don't want to do this. When you're in primary school, like, you want to sit down for like an hour each week to like play instruments. I'm like, nah, this is crap. Like, I don't want to do this.
Mm.
And then I was also playing trumpet as well in primary school. Yeah.
Right.
And then I was like, nah, this is crap. I don't want to do this. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Then one day I kind of just like flicked and I was like, oh, this is actually really cool. I like it. And then picked up like harmonium.
Right.
Yeah. Just like kind of like just like that. We had one at home, so I kind of just started playing it.
Right.
And then my uncle had a drum, electric drum kit. So I would he didn't like really keep it at my place, but every now and then it'd be at my place, and I'd just have a bit of a whirl on that. And then in primary school, there was like a drum kit in the music room.
Hmm.
So I'd go in at lunchtime sometime and just like play. I didn't really know what I was playing, but I would just play. And then it got to high school.
Kind of like bringing the tabla knowledge across.
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, because I didn't really have lessons in drum kit. Yeah. And then when I was in high school, I wanted to change to play drum, to learn drum kit. Because I could already play a kit, but I didn't really like know much knowledge about it. And then they were like, "Nah, you can't do that. So you have to have like pre-knowledge of it." Blah, blah, blah.
I'm
like, okay, whatever. I don't want to do trumpet. So I just scrapped music for like the first like 2-3 years of high school.
Mm.
And then in grade 10, I was really close with like in high school, I was really close with the one of my music teachers. She ran the choir.
Yeah.
So she was asking me, she's like, "Oh, you play a kit, yeah?" I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "Oh, we need a drummer."
Were you in the choir?
Nah, I was just in her music class.
Yeah.
She's like, "We need a drummer for this like one song in the choir. Do you want to do it?" I'm like, "Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, I'll do that."
Yeah.
And then I did it, and then I think it was younger than that. It must have been grade 7 when I did that. Uh-huh. I don't know. I was young. Anyway, I did something for the choir, and then people were like, "Oh, this guy plays drums. Like, since when?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "I told you when I got here."
Yeah. You wouldn't let me.
Yeah. And then then I finally got into like the percussion stuff, and I hated the percussion stuff. Hey, like the orchestral, like I was like, "Oh, so boring." Now I actually like, okay, that's cool. But like back then I was like, "Oh, I hate this."
Mm.
But the drumming was, I loved it. And then, yeah, I kind of just played in school. And then, yeah, got into uni, majoring in drums, which is exciting, I guess. I like the drum. I love playing drums. But then like along there, just picking up like guitar and keys and stuff. So recently I've really been enjoying playing guitar. I don't know. Just like, it's been really fun for me. So yeah, I don't know. Drums is cool though. I really do enjoy the drums. I like, that's my like roots for sure. Like percussive rhythms and stuff. Like, yeah. I'm playing with a few bands at the moment, which is fun. Because I'm in like my actual band. We're called Mondeo. We play kind of a bit of mix of music. A bit of like, you know, indie rocky, a bit of reggae, a bit of soul. It's kind of just, we're still kind of figuring out our real sound.
Right.
So play that. And then I've just recently, I'm playing for two bands, coming up in June for like a gig, and that's more like neo soul, the R&B stuff, which is where I got my drumming inspiration from. So
okay,
I'm excited to play with that kind of music more.
Right.
But yeah, it's cool. Yeah. Drums is really good. I love drums. It's so much fun. It's just hard to afford everything, every instrument to get a nice one. Like, I've been like really like, okay, man, I really want to get a new guitar, like so bad. Because my guitar is quite nice. It's good. It's like an Ibanez Les Paul from like 1975. It's like super old.
Nice.
And I'm like, I really just want to get a Tele, like a new Telecaster. And then I'm like, okay, no, before I do that, I should get some new hi-hats because like, I'm a drummer, right? And then like, actually, no, before that, I should get some like CDJs. Like, it's like the endless loophole. Yeah. It's all so expensive. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But hey, one day, hopefully we can make enough money to afford it all. So maybe Foot Locker's not doing that well.
Need to start working with Manny's music.
I know. But it's okay. One day. It's just like dedicating enough time to get good at everything. That's the other thing too. Because like some days I'll be like, want to focus on DJing, just getting my scratching right, blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
Other days I want to focus on, you know, playing rhythms or whatever. Like I have like drum lessons at uni, so learning the content that my teacher gives me. Other days I want to, you know, write a song. Other days I want to produce. Like, it's like trying to like just like, I don't know, get it like, I don't want to be like mediocre. Like the different stuff I do, I'd rather be like at least like good, really good at one thing, and then like mediocre at the others. So it's just like finding the balance between that as well. But it's cool, it's good.
Yeah,
it's good fun.
Is the one thing at the top DJing?
Nah, I don't know what it is. I like playing everything. Like, I'm too indecisive. Good, everything. Like, even just choosing the tea that you're offering this morning. I'm like, oh, this looks really good. this is also really good. Like, I don't know. So it's like, I don't know.
Well, hang on. Being indecisive and being a music selector seems like a hard,
hard yeah, it can thing be. To bear. I think for DJing, it's okay. I think, I don't know, because I kind of have like an idea of like reading the crowd and like, okay, they'll respond well to this song. They might like this song, blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
But yeah, for like, definitely for like production, it can be a bit, sometimes I'm like, oh, which one sounds better, blah, 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 blah. But it's okay. With music, but also I feel like with music, it's kind of like, I kind of go off my initial reaction as well. It's like, I know that this sounds good, so I'll choose that. Mm. Whereas like if it's like food, it's like, oh, I don't know which one's better. Which one should I get, type of thing.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, so best of luck with your many, many, many creative projects.
Thank you. Appreciate
and thank
that.
Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Cheers.
Thank you, bro.